This is Drift, Immigration and Identity in America. I'm your host, Melissa Camara, a Hawaii-based artist and conservationist. And in this series of interviews, I'll be talking to immigrants, their descendants, and Native people to find out how homelands, new and old, are shaped by our ties to land, as well as those who've immigrated to Kodiak, Alaska, America's second largest island and home to one of the busiest fishing and processing ports in the United States. Last time we heard from the women of Kodiak about their immigration from the Philippines, their work, and their personal stories. Today, we round out our series of interviews with Kodiak's Filipinos by speaking with an immigrant teacher, pharmacist, and former military serviceman from Guam.
Neil Pendon, gosh, my age, I think it's 48. I stopped counting. I am a pharmacist slash veteran slash science math teacher, and hopefully in a little bit I'll have my master's in special education.
Tell me, Neil, where were you born, and if not here, how did you come to Kodiak, Alaska?
I was born in a Pacific island, Timon in Guam, raised in Agat in Guam. I always loved traveling after high school. I traveled everywhere from South Korea to Iceland in my military career.
And how long was that, may I ask?
4 years.
Okay.
4 years active. Then I went to a University of San Augustine in the Philippines.
Oh.
And then I graduated with my pharmacy degree. 2000 was when the year I graduated. Well, after I did that, I worked in the pharmacy, decided to substitute.
Okay.
Loved teaching. Mm-hmm. So I went back to school again. So I had to pay for all that, and then I got my certification in mathematics and science.
Did you have dual citizenship between, or how did that work?
Between
being born in Guam and then going back to the Philippines?
I expressed an interest in the medical side. Another top school was in my dad's home place in Iloilo City. It's actually Western with a science.
Okay.
Yes. If you look on the map, it has the shape of the heart. Mm-hmm. And that's why they call it the heart of the Philippines.
Oh, fantastic.
So,
I never heard that.
A lot of the wonderful food comes from there.
Mm-hmm.
Lechon, pancit, molo, mm-hmm. is molo. There's a lot of good foods that come from there. But I went there because that was my father's hometown, and
okay.
It was one of the prestigious schools. And of course, it was U.S. certified. But unfortunately, when you graduate in any foreign place, even though the education is wonderful, it's not as easily recognized when you go back to the States.
Okay, so would you have gotten the equivalent of a bachelor's degree or a master's degree when you did pharmacy in the Philippines?
Yes.
Which one?
It's a bachelor's degree.
Okay.
I had to go through all the hoops and stuff. It's just, I don't know, how can I say this nicely?
It wasn't easy.
It's not recognized as easily as a U.S. doctor or a degree holder coming to the Philippines, and they say, hey, we respect you, you did all your stuff. But when we go the other direction, I'm sure many foreigners or people have got a good education.
Mm-hmm.
When you come to the U.S., it's not as well respected the other way.
Right. And so, but you came to Alaska how, though, specifically? How did you end up here? Military,
It was actually looking at the pay. I applied for federal jobs, and one of the federal jobs that was open here was working, you know, in TSA. And the depressing part was, and typical again story of all teachers, is that their starting pay here for a first federal year employee was exactly the same pay as a 16-year-old veteran teacher.
Wow.
So
okay.
Me and the wife were like, let's go, let's give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
Did our due diligence, did all the research.
Mm-hmm.
I've always loved a small town feel.
Mm-hmm.
It just looked like a great place to raise a family.
Okay.
So we took the leap, sold everything we could, packed up everything, flew from Guam to Japan, Japan to California, bought a car and drove it all the way up here through Canada.
Oh, wow. And how long ago was that you did that journey?
June 2021.
So this is recent. So you have not been in Alaska for that long.
This is my second year.
Okay. And so you went from the TSA job. You've already gotten your degree in education, or you got that?
I got that way
long ago. And you got here, and you know, through the federal system, right? And then now you're teaching.
Long story short, the school saw my years as working with also at-risk kids, because before I left Guam, I was actually working with at-risk adults and kids.
Right, so you're teaching middle school math, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. That's a really incredible story, journey from Guam to the Philippines and your career in the military, and then, you know, your master's degree and TSA and now teaching, right? Who is Filipino and who's Chamorro?
My father actually came to Guam, and he was one of those people that were Rojas, I believe. It was like a detainment camp on Guam. So during the time of all the conflicts and whatever, they brought over Filipino workers to Guam to work. So during that time that he was there, he met my mother, who was an automatic citizen, even though the United States says we are not smart enough to vote for president, which is another story.
It's a whole other thing.
Yes. So.
Territory, right?
Yes.
What's it like to be living in the U.S. and not be able to vote?
It's just like my education. It's like I'm able to die for my country, fight for my country. Mm-hmm. I teach my kids, you know, to take pride in their country. Mm-hmm. My wife just got her citizenship, and it's such a big deal for me, mm-hmm. because, you know, someone who's defended and, you know, put everything on the line, mm-hmm. it feels good that she wanted it as much as I wanted to defend it.
And she is, I'm sorry, she's Filipina also?
Yes.
Okay, so she just got her citizenship while living here in Alaska.
Yes.
Wow, congratulations.
Yes.
And so she had to give up her Philippine citizenship, or was she from Guam?
I'm not too sure about that, but like, it's one of those things, again, Philippines doesn't...
They don't make you give it up, right? They don't say, oh, you have to hand over your passport, but the U.S. doesn't like it, right?
Yes. Well, for me, too, it was very nice, because once I went to the Philippines, I'm used to going, here's your foreigner passport over there.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it was different last time I went. They looked at me and goes, do you have Filipino blood? And I go, yes. Well, then go on that line
over there.
And it's like, oh, wow, it's
so
amazing.
Do you get to go back then to see your dad's?
Well, he's passed away already. So a lot of the ones that are
family members
are gone.
But do you have a family land back there?
Not anymore.
Okay.
My great Lola Casile, she was actually the one who started the whole family model for my family. And later on, I found out she was actually the professor, which they would say education's in our blood, because even my aunts were educators and everything.
And do you speak Tagalog Filipino, or
my wife has her Western Rusayan. There's Eastern Rusayan, and there's the actual Filipino, which that's what they told me. It's not Tagalog. It's called Filipino.
It's Filipino, right? This is what I hear.
I'm trying to stick with just the Filipino portion, but
so be signed then too, or yes or no? My dad didn't speak. My grandparents spoke Visayan to each other, but never to us. So that was the last time I heard it.
Yes, same here.
When I was little.
When I was growing up on Guam, my father concentrated on English really for us, because and that's a common theme, I guess, for cultures.
Right.
Well, for us in Guam, me growing up, I had my older brother who had bathroom fights because he wasn't Chamorro enough for Chamorros, wasn't Filipino enough for Filipino. That, even me growing up, there was always that section. The brightest thing I say now is I don't really see that when I was in school anymore. They don't care.
Yeah.
It's just who you are. And even when they started bringing in outer islanders, you know, Guam is really that melting pot too, just like Hawaii. It's You're a good person no matter what color or where you're from. And that's one thing I saw. They didn't really care much anymore about other than who you are, not where you're from.
So in other words, not so much. I mean, not so much in terms of what I described about that, you know, the whiteness scale in Philippines, because, of course, she didn't grow up there. But more to do with being mixed, which I could tell.
Yes, which I like to call hybrid.
Yes, hybrid. Yes. I love that.
Yeah, I always prefer the hybrid term.
Hybrid,
because
exactly.
Because I'm a combination of both. I guess a great story is when in school they always did those surveys, which now there's a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in middle school they said, raise your hand if you're Chamorro. So, of course, I raised my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went through the list. The actual teacher went through the list. Then circle Filipino, circle Chamorro. And then she went, raise your hand if you're Filipino. And I raised my hand. And she goes, Miss Penn, you raise your hand twice. And I go, yes, because I'm both. And at that time, guess what? They didn't have any other select more than one. They wanted to put you in a certain category.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes, erase everything and put other. And that's when I said, I'm not other. I'm both.
Yeah.
I'm not going to choose one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I love both.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a long time to appreciate who I am. I guess that comes with maturity.
I'm wondering what your experience being a newcomer to Alaska has been like for you, you know, in terms of just literally so different environmentally and otherwise. Tell me about that.
Well, thank God for the internet. Well, first thing I did was actually do all the research, do all the typical safety, crime, population, and ethnicities.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I saw about Kodiak in particular is it has a great mixture of Pacific Islanders, Asians, you know, locals, you know, the local natives, and of course, you know, I don't know, I was going to say holy. I mean, you know, there's Caucasians. So just the fact that it was so diverse here, and it's a small town, I had a feeling that it would be more acceptable to people of color.
Have you found that to be the case, honestly?
Oh, yeah. I have not really had any negative experiences with the people here in Kodiak. I mean, they are so small town, supportive. I mean, working with the children has really like given me an eye opener of the culture.
Tell me about that too, because you have worked with at risk. I'd love to hear the contrast between working with at youth risk in Guam. And then working with that, and you did a little bit of that before you did the other math and other things. So tell me about those experiences.
Well, without violating anything, every environment has its different. Now,
right.
I've dealt with more of, let's say, larger population problems in Guam.
Stemming from?
Drugs, alcohol, crime. Every place, even when I was traveling, or every place has its different degrees and I would say problems.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, honestly, island problems is different from, I would say the severity of the drug problems is way different from bigger places like we're from, like Hawaii and Guam, as opposed to, let's say, even just like a small town in, you know, in the middle of the United States, they're not going to have
the volume
or the severity.
Right. And that's so interesting. Yeah. You're going to see just smaller population, smaller numbers.
Yeah.
But drugs, alcohol, like you said, that's going to be almost anywhere. Right. And, you know, talking to Dr. Garcia, who studies public health, and he is from the Philippines also, and I got to talk to two of people who study psychology and public health among minorities, and in Alaska, and I mean, they didn't mince words. It's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
The numbers are what you would expect, and it's like, I think that's why we're doing this, right? Why I'm interested in shining a light on
the dark spots.
The dark spots, but also just the interconnectedness, I think, among colonization, let's be real, colonization, imperialism. I mean, there's just all of these underlying things that have affected Native people, Native populations,
yes,
all over the world, right? And that's no different here. It's
yes,
the same. But also, you know, the resilience and the incredible celebration of cultures that are still alive and still connected with the land and still, you know, unique. And I think there's both of those things, right?
Yes.
And I mean, are you seeing that in your work a little bit?
I see that, you know, if it wasn't for my father and mother breaking through a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I mean, it was just them leading that example, you know, my father embracing the American culture and my mother's culture. So he was embracing two different cultures, you know, and we had to embrace all three. So,
yeah, and so that's so interesting because, you know, you've served in the military. This is another layer of code switching, which is so interesting to me, and that your loyalties are to America, yet you don't vote or can't vote. How do you traverse that space between the history of what's happened, right, to Native peoples under American, and then your love of our country, and you know, wanting to uphold those values? Like, how do you live within those spaces? I'm so curious.
Really, this is why I'm here. It's because I didn't want my kids, all five, growing up with that. How could I say? It's unfair. That's it. It's just unfair. You can do all this. You can serve. You can do everything for your country. But because you live here in this territory, you're not as good as if you were living in the mainland.
Yeah.
You know, and that's hard.
Yeah,
you know?
I bet. I mean, it's sort of like an inferiority mentality, just writ large, you know?
Yes.
I mean, and experienced day to day, too.
Yes.
So you've been welcomed into Alaska, you're with the community, you're integrated with the community through the school. Do you feel like you're setting roots here?
We already talked about getting everyone back together here and actually building a home, you know, after the oldest one graduates. And I want her to come here and at least get some experience.
Five.
Yes.
Okay.
And after she graduates, come over here, get her master's,
okay,
and then it's the same Asian thing. Bring family close, you know, get them set, then move them on out, you know, give them the best foot forward, you know. So my father moved to Guam and set up everything there when he met my mother, and he gave us this stuff up. Now it's my turn to follow even my uncles and cousins and come to the mainland and set up for my generation that's moving forward, and hopefully, you know, everything will turn out all right and better. Because I don't think they will be getting into bathroom fights or fights about your Chamorro or Filipino, you know. Hopefully not, but
do you think that I mean, it does sound like that's a thing, sort of, or at least for you growing up was a thing back then, because you're about my age.
It was normal.
Right. And I mean, what's your connection, if any, to the Aleutic, you know, folks that are here? Tell me about that. Like,
thank goodness for the requirements of Alaska, where you have to do the multicultural classes and stuff like that, because Guam is Guam. You know, there it's the same thing. It's like, okay, you're from Guam. You know, it's not a big deal. The culture is not a big deal. Off a day to you. You make, you know, your chilaquiles. You make chicken adobo. Everyone makes chicken adobo. It's all the same.
Right.
But when you move so far away, and then you hear the stories of how they, you know, the people here, the natives, were oppressed, you know, and put down. And then you start relating it to the things you experience. It's like, oh yeah, they didn't want us speaking this different languages in school. You know, they wanted us to speak English. You know what I mean? Oh, you got hit with the rulers. We got hit with the rulers too, you know? So it was like another connection. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like really, how do you feel? I felt connected that, I'm not saying that it's the same, but I know
there's a parallel experience, maybe.
Yeah, I could understand. I could sympathize. I'll say sympathize with, but I know it's, there's no comparison. I will not compare myself, but I'm like, I can understand.
Mm-hmm. That is a really interesting parallel. Tell me about the makeup of the kids in school. Are they, like, just ballpark? I mean, like, you have, like, Caucasian and...
Oh, this mix. It's mixed.
So it's all mixed up.
And it, mm-hmm. I love it because, again, it's so many... I know they won't say hybrids, but, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, even though, you know...
Like,
yeah,
it's... Right,
there's,
it's the normal.
It's like, I am... And, you know, I love culture, so I'll ask them, hey, what's your background? What, you know, especially when you work with certain kids, you got to get, you have to open yourself up.
Right.
I'm Chamorro Filipino, so what are you? What is your favorite food? What's your favorite snack? So, yeah, I don't think there's anyone that just said, I'm pure this.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's kind of mixed up.
This. And...
So do you feel at this point... And this is a totally unfair question, and I know that going into it, but do you feel more American, Chamorro, or Filipino?
I accept that I am a United States Filipino Chamorro.
Mm-hmm.
Veteran.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, because honestly, even with my culture, military culture is another culture that I really respect and adapt it. So, yeah, that's how I identify myself.
That's how it is.
And I mean, honestly, here in Alaska,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever felt better about being a disabled veteran than I do being in Alaska.
I didn't realize you're a disabled veteran.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I finally got it after 16 years, yes.
Oh,
because I never got my records until I actually came to Alaska.
If I may ask, what's your disability?
Well, for now, there's everything. My feet, my back, my tinnitus.
Oh my goodness.
There's a lot. But right now, I've only just started.
Give me an understanding of your actual day-to-day job. And how did you develop some of these like physical problems that you deal with now?
Honestly, I don't know if I'm violating anything there. But basically, it's just wear and tear. I mean,
mm-hmm.
any military person knows you're running with boots.
Mm-hmm.
In the month, you're doing rucksack marches. You're,
mm-hmm.
I mean, for being a short guy as I am, I was pretty stocky. So they're like, here you go, you're carrying the M60. You know, and then, you know,
just
normal wear and tear of being a soldier.
Stress related, just physical stress related injuries. You know, I mean, term stress meaning like you know, carrying stuff and.
Yeah, I actually, See, I'm just getting it checked out now. I don't even want to violate, but, you know, I snapped my back in Korea holding power cords, and I was probably on high meds for an entire week. But unfortunately, it was not even recognized. Only just last month did they actually do an x-ray and say, oh, we found something that's old damage in your back, and it's bent this way. And I'm like... I just thanked the doctor. That's all I did. I just said thank you because you actually are going to put in something that, you know, hopefully will benefit me because I've been suffering for almost 16 years.
Ouch. That's hardcore. So you hopefully get some kind of assistance, financial assistance from that. Eventually, maybe. We don't know.
No, nothing yet.
Nothing.
Just starting.
You're just starting the process.
Yeah,
okay.
Just starting.
Well,
this is that community here in Kodiak. There are so many veterans on this island that I never even knew.
Okay.
That's one part I never researched.
Okay. Interesting.
But as soon as I got here and met someone in teacher orientation, they're like, 16 years getting out since 1996. I have not seen my medical records until I moved to Alaska, Kodiak.
Wow, that's great. I mean, yet another reason to want to stop and have roots here and, you know, be with people who care about you and vice versa. That's so interesting. So your parents are no longer with us, right?
No, my mom is actually bouncing all the way all over the place. She's okay. Retired. My father had his state funeral in Guam.
Oh, I see.
He was a former mayor of Pagat. Mm-hmm. So he was able to be honored. And he had a whole state funeral in Guam. So imagine that. He's a foreign guy. He was at Camp Rojas. And he dedicated everything to the island. And he even got assistant mayor in Haga. And I was very appreciative when they actually said he will get a state funeral. A foreign guy coming over, getting his citizenship, serving the place that took him in, the island that took him in, and they reciprocated by giving him the honors. He may not have been born in Guam, but he was buried as a son of Guam.
Wonderful story. And, you know, he being an immigrant, you being an immigrant, so to speak, because, you know, Kodiak is a sort of a new place. Are there things that you relate to in his story, you know, that you think about as you live here and, you know, make roots in a new place?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, like I said, that family model that came from our Lola Casile. My dad may have been a bit of a bad boy growing up, but Lola Casile sat him down and he said, I can give you money, the newest thing. I can give you anything you ever wanted. And I'm just summarizing the model. But you're going to lose it. It's going to get old. It may be stolen. And it'll be gone. But if I give you an education, that's something you won't lose to the day you die. So that's actually something that carried on from him. Then he changed his life, went to Guam. He passed that down to us, which now I currently use as my family model to my kids. That all this stuff is going to go away. My iPhone 12, well, I had an iPhone 4, you know. So, but the education I got from my experiences growing up, my school, my military service, I still haven't forgotten that, you know. I still have residuals in the back of my mind of how I want my socks and my shirt folded. But that education stays on. The way that family members have taught me how to hunt crab or to fish, those will carry on to my kids and hopefully my grandkids will be taught later on.
That's such a beautiful story because, you know, there's so much island life, right? Mm-hmm. That's similar. I imagine, I don't know for sure, but having just arrived here like 4 hours ago, but I imagine that there are some parallels there too with the island life, the island, you know, warmth, hospitality.
Yes. Or even holding the crab. They kind of freaked out because when I grabbed the crab, I knew where to grab it because they can't pitch backwards.
Oh,
so once you grab their back, you can hold them.
Okay, I'll remember that.
I don't know about the king crabs though, but the regular dungies here.
That is wild. Is there anything more that you want to say, Neil, about being Chamorro, being Filipino, being Alaskan now?
Well, yeah, I'm a resident now. The only thing I could really say is, I guess every good parent is going to move in directions they're not comfortable, just as long as it lays the foundation for the ones they care about.
Let me ask you this. I was just reminded of it. With your wife becoming a U.S. citizen, does that mean that you could be eligible to apply for citizenship through her or no? Because you're still...
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm old.
You just can't vote. That's just this.
Well, now I can.
You can.
Yeah, because I live here. So I'm voting in November. So.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we clarified that.
It's
so weird. I'm having a hard time even understanding everything, right?
If you're a resident on Guam.
Okay.
If you stay in Guam, live in Guam as a resident, I don't know if it's, I don't know if anyone that moves from, you know, a state here to Guam, but as far as I know, if you're living on Guam, you are not allowed to vote because the charter that was written in ancient forgotten, you know, says, hey, you indigenous people, you're not smart enough to understand U.S. politics. But if you want to die for your country, hey, come on in, we'll take care of you.
Yeah, it's so weird. Okay, Of course, this all makes sense. I mean, this is like what Puerto Rico deals with too. So
it's Puerto Rico, America, Samoa.
It's just crazy. Well, I'm excited for you being able to vote for the first time this November. Hooray for that, and for your roots here that you're setting down, and for the future of your family and for you too and your wife. How exciting. 5 kids. Congratulations. And I think that's probably a great place to like end, unless there's anything else you want to say.
No, that's it. I'm just tired.
It's been a long path geographically and, you know, mentally, physically, too, from the sounds of it. So, well, thank you so much, Neil.
Oh, no, thanks for calling. Thanks for coming over.
I'm so glad to have met you in person here.
Yes.